Welcome to another edition of the Black Doctor Speak podcast. Black Doctor Speak is your source for vetted, accurate information on African American health from some of the nation's top doctors and is sponsored by the African American Wellness Project.
Welcome to today's edition of Black Doctors Speak, the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Lenore. We've got a special treat for you. I've always thought that I couldn't carry this process alone. And so what we've done is we've recruited one of the nation's most important educators, Dr. Renee. Dr. Renee will co-host the program with me. She'll be setting up topics. She'll be asking questions. She'll be answering questions. And Dr. Renee, I want to welcome you to our program.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lenore. I'm excited to be here.
So tell our audience at Black Doctor Speak, the podcast, a little bit about yourself.
So I am Dr. Renee. I am a medical doctor, but I don't practice medicine in the traditional sense. I actually do media full time. So I talk about health on TV, radio, print, and online media. You might have seen me in your doctor's office waiting room. I have a television show that's played at 45,000 doctor's offices, waiting rooms across the country. And I am an allergy and asthma expert because I have lived with severe asthma and severe allergies my entire life. So a lot of the times that's what I talk about, but I also talk about a lot of the health disparities in our community, especially when it comes to Black women in our health. And I talk about infertility. I talk about obesity, weight loss, and all sorts of fun stuff. So it should be fun.
Tell us a little bit about what you're reading about, what you're concerned about as it relates to Black health these days.
So to these days, Black health, I am extremely concerned about us not having conversations with family members about health history. So it is so very important for us to understand what did grandma and grandpa die from, because that can impact us. And if we don't know, we need to find out and figure it out. Secrets are something that are going to kill us and have killed us as a people, but we've got to stop with the secrets. So prostate cancer upsets me because look at Dexter King. He was Dexter King, for Pete's sake, and he died of prostate cancer. You should not die from prostate cancer. Colon cancer. Go ahead.
You didn't want to mention O.J. Simpson.
Well, you know, because they didn't quite say, so I didn't know. That's why I didn't say it. But yeah, O.J. is another one, although O.J. was a little more senior than Dexter King. So that's where I say Dexter King, I feel like, because we're a little closer in age. That's why I said that. And then prostate, and then colon cancer, another one we should not be dying from. But unfortunately, we are always, when it comes to these kinds of diseases, we're always the last to find out, because for whatever reason, we're not taking care of ourselves. We're not going to the doctor, getting our screening. They have decided that we do need to be screened for colon cancer earlier in life, which is a good thing. Another one that they've decided we need to probably be screened earlier is breast cancer, although I have not heard that the insurance companies have quite moved the needle to say, yes, Black women can start mammograms at 30-something, but we are losing so many women to breast cancer at younger and younger ages. I had a conversation last night. They're taking care of two 24-year-olds with triple-negative breast cancer.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me is that I believe, as you do, that we don't always do kinds of things that we need to do. But I'm more on the side of what happened to us once the diagnosis is made. I'm absolutely convinced, Dr. Renee, that we don't get fair treatment, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of your socioeconomic status if you're Black. There's unconscious bias on the part of doctors, unconscious bias on the part of hospital systems and healthcare systems. And one of the reasons we do this project, and you do your work, as I understand it, is to give people the tools they need to deal with what is clearly a system which is unfair to Blacks. You know, for a while, we were hot. And we were hot getting all this health equity money, going to the churches and other places. But now, I think, without question, we can see that the health equity movement has dropped, especially since that Supreme Court decision. So this is going to be a good balance. You on the front side, me on the back side. I think we can do a lot of work together.
Definitely.
So let's get started and talk about, if you wheeze and sneeze, it's allergy season. What do you think?
I totally agree. And it's funny because there are people who had been talking to me, like, you have allergies, right? I said, yeah. And then they're like, I've never had allergies ever before in my life, but all of a sudden I'm having issues. And I was like, well, last summer I did a lot on TV, actually national news, talking about how there are so many people who never heard of allergies in their life, and all of a sudden now they're having issues. But it's that wonderful global warming.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about why that happens. You know, pollen season is not the whole allergy season.
Right.
Pollen is the period of time right now where things are pollinating all over the country. Now, here in California, we won't allow certain allergens to come here. On the East Coast and the Midwest, where you are, you have two allergy seasons. One is for grass and trees. The other is for weeds, notoriously ragweed. So when we talk about pollen season, we're really talking about a special time of the year when most of the grass pollen develops. And so we see a lot of symptoms, don't we?
Yes, tons and tons. Sneezing, and like you said, sneezing, wheezing, and all of the above. Red eyes and itchy eyes, and, you know, and so, yeah, it's unfortunate. But what treatments do you recommend?
Well, I happen to be an allergist, so, you know, that's a big time of year. You know, allergists have a habit of telling you every year is the worst allergy season, because we got economic interest in that. But we do have now, I think, a lot of things that people can do themselves that they couldn't do before. Let's talk a little bit about the medicines, about the approach. First of all, there are three approaches to allergy. One is environmental controls, the other is medication, and the third is long-term therapy, like immunotherapy. And in terms of environmental controls, most people with pollen allergy have other allergies as well. They have allergies to animals, allergies to house dust, or cats, dogs, and other things. And so if you're going into pollen season and you know you're allergic to those things, deal with your other allergies first, because allergy symptoms are cumulative. By that, I mean that if you got dust and cat and pollen, you have a worse problem. And so consequently, I think just doing those things are really important. I think the second thing that we talk about are the medicines. And fortunately now, Dr. Renee, we got a lot of medicines across the counter that people can buy themselves or get themselves prescribed. Drugs like non-sedating antihistamines, cetirizine, loratadine, fexofenadine, and nasal sprays and eye drops. So they're symptomatic medicines. We never ask you to take medicines unless there's no other option. And in pollen season, there's rarely another option.
Unless you're just going to stay in the house and not go anywhere.
And nobody's going to do that.
I mean, exactly.
You drive everybody close.
Well, I was on a panel with an allergist last year. Dr. Anna, and I forgot Anna's last name, one female. And she told me to buy the nasal, the saline spray.
Right.
And she said, do that every day. She said that is very helpful in clearing the passages. If you've been outside, to make sure that you don't inhale all of the pollen and stuff. Also, if you had been exposed to COVID and it was on the, you know, in your passage, it would clear that out too. I was like, wow. And so, you know, we heard a lot of people in COVID talking about the neti pot, and that is a very expensive apparatus. And so I was like, so she was like, save your money on that stupid neti pot. Go and get the little cheap saline spray at the drugstore. I was like, wow. So I started doing that.
Yeah, they got all these elaborate nasal cleansing machines.
Right.
Some as much as $150.
Exactly.
That little spray bottle does just as much. And there are basically a couple kinds of sprays, especially during the dark part when the season is really, in full swing. One of those is nasal decongestants, drugs like Afrin or Sinu spray. Now, they'll work for 2 or 3 days, and they're very effective. But the problem with them is if you use them long-term, you become allergic to them. I'm not allergic to them, but dependent on them with a condition called rhinitis medicamentosa, in which the nose doesn't know that you don't have any more allergy. It just knows you don't have any more nasal spray. And so you become dependent on it. To use it too long, it can cause nasal atrophy. So we only use those for 2 or 3 days. But drugs like Flonase, And since I don't have any particular, you know, alliance to any of these drug companies, I could just call them what I want.
Right.
But generic names or whatever. But Flonase, Zyrtec, Claritin, or Allegra, these are all drugs you should have in your armamentarium this time of year. I would say a couple of things, though, long term. If you're particularly miserable, or your children are particularly miserable with asthma or hay fever during this season, then you might want to consider an allergy injection program. Some people are so symptomatic that they can't get along with just environmental controls and medication. And for those people, we recommend consideration for a long-term therapy with allergy injections. I mean, there's a lot of myths of allergy injections. But for certain allergens, like grasses, trees, weed, house dust, dog, cat, and mold, they work particularly well. Tremendous investment in time, but especially for children who can't play outside or be outside for 2 or 3 months in the spring, they're very, very effective.
So I am a witness. They work. I had allergy shots as a child, and by high school, one of my chores was mowing the lawn, and I didn't have any problems mowing the lawn. And to this day, I don't know about hay fever. And, you know, people who say they have sinus issues every whatever part of the year, I don't have these issues. And I swear, and I owe it to my mother and my lovely allergist, Dr. Marva Morris, may she rest in peace, because I had allergy shots as a child. And so I don't have any problems. I live in Chicago. I can be on the lakefront when they're mowing the lawn or when it's been freshly mowed. I'm fine. But I've also participated in some asthma clinical trials, and I have had testing done, and it showed that I was still allergic. But
oh no, you know, when you're that's what's interesting.
Yeah,
you're really still reactive. By that I mean your skin test will always show certain levels of allergy, but clinically you can appreciate the fact that these allergy injections have really helped you and enabled you to carry on a much more satisfied, comfortable lifestyle. That's why we use the amniotherapy, and especially for children, I think it's effective. If you get it as a child, you're less likely to have major problems like you did as an adult. So I think the allergy shots, even though they're mistaken, people don't know much about them, they take a lot of time, and they do work. But I think nowadays, for most people who have pollen allergy, grass or tree allergy this time of year, the across-the-counter medications are your first line of defense, because you can't eliminate all. It's not your grass, it's your neighbor's grass. Right. So you can eliminate all those things. But the medicines we have, the non-sedating antihistamines, the nasal sprays, the eye drops are extremely effective for a couple of months. But I would say one more time, if in fact you're not doing well on those medications, then you need to consider going to see an allergist and getting into a long-term problem. So that's our spiel on allergy season. This is our introduction with Dr. Renee. I think you can all already see the infusion of enthusiasm. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. We're not always going to agree. And that's and we want to know from you, hearing from you, and we'll put some information at the end of the podcast. And then we want to select and talk about the topics that are relevant today and that were relevant yesterday and will be relevant tomorrow. I think what we always have to remember, though, is that we're going to be relevant, we're going to be accurate, we're going to be trusted, and we're already vetted. And so consequently, we want to stick with us every week. We'll take on the tough decisions, let it be the tough topics in health, and we'll talk about them in our own way. We're going to get down on some and up on others. So I want to say something. You want to say something in conclusion, Dr. Renee?
No, I'm excited to be here, and I can't wait to see what you guys want to talk about.
All right. We'll always close our program with a saying that I learned very early on, that health is your biggest asset. So protect.
If you enjoyed our show, please remember to hit the subscribe button so that new episodes are delivered directly to you every week. As well as rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, listening to our show is as simple as telling your Alexa, Siri, or Google to play the Black Doctor Speak podcast. Take care, everyone.